Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in for my dad, Tim Wildman, and Ed Vitagliano. Both are out this week. Fred Jackson is co-hosting with me.
Great to be here.
Glad to have you back.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our website, afr.net. You can catch the Today's Issues podcast on our website, afr.net. One other thing you can do this hour is go to onenewsnow.com, and at the top of the page, go ahead and sign up for the One News Now daily news brief. One email a day, Monday through Friday, of the latest news stories coming out of One News Now. Some of the same stories that you hear on news break at the top of the hour. OneNewsNow.com. Go there and check it out. Great news. Sign up for the daily news brief. Steve, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
What you got? What kind of stories you got today?
Oh, there's so much stuff we could get to. I'm sure we're not going to get to all of it, but let's start here. There has been now a breaking news from the Federalist. They found that a recently leaked phone call between then Vice President Joe Biden and Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko directly after the 2016 election shows that Biden sought to sabotage the incoming Trump administration, and he may have also violated or was willing to violate the Logan Act, which says that a private person cannot be cannot do foreign policy on their own, basically. So this was leaked by a Ukrainian politician who they say if the Ukrainians were recording it, it's almost guaranteed that the Russians were also recording it. And writes the Federalist, if Russian intelligence had actually penetrated the incoming Trump administration, which is what Biden said that he couldn't tell. By the way, let me back up. He said that the truth of the matter is, this is his quoting Biden, the truth of the matter is that the incoming administration doesn't know a great deal about Ukraine. So he's downplaying or dissing the Trump administration to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And because he knew that there was this investigation, this sham investigation of the Trump campaign and Russia connection. If there was such, had there been such an infiltration, then Biden would have been severely putting the U.S. national security in jeopardy.
Yeah, Steve, what is the, I know you just read one quote from Biden on the call, but what's the main essence of the context and the substance of the call with the Ukrainian government officials?
Well, basically he was saying you can't really trust the incoming administration, and I am going to stay as a private citizen and continue working with you to make sure that the foreign policy of the United States is...
Yeah, that's not good for Biden.
What irony, because we know that right after the election, there was a meetings at the White House, mm-hmm. attended by still Vice President Biden, the President Barack Obama being there. And who was it that brought it up?
Mr. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Vice President.
Possible violation of the Logan Act. Was it Michael
Flynn? Michael Flynn. Yes.
With Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
Because during the transition, Michael Flynn was coordinating with governmental officials from other countries, which is what transition teams do.
Completely legal.
Yes.
Yes. And so they might get Joe Biden on the Logan Act?
Yeah, and it's not that we think the Logan Act is, look, it's never been prosecuted.
No.
Since its writing and its origination. So, you know, the chances of someone going to jail over the Logan Act is very slim. But it was the left, it was Joe Biden himself that brought up the Logan Act as a possible prosecution point for Michael Flynn. And here he is having conversations with governmental officials from other countries when he is no longer vice president.
So, Steve, the source on this is the Federalist?
Yes, it's the Federalist has broken this. The reporter's name I don't have here in front of me. But
okay. We might be able to get to post that on our site.
Yeah, I actually sent a copy of this to Brent when I was sending it around this morning.
Okay.
I will give each one of you a shiny silver dollar if any of the media asks Joe Biden about this anytime soon.
He has a town hall today in Scranton, doesn't he?
I think he does.
You know, yeah. The one thing I love about Joe Biden is that he takes these off-the-cuff, impromptu questions from all these reporters. I'm talking about dozens a day. and he just handles them professionally and doesn't slip up at all.
Would you like to hear?
Yeah, let's hear that.
I'll be happy to take some questions now, if that's okay. Let me get my list here.
Get my list.
Everybody's sitting.
We're CNN.
Okay. ABC, Mary.
ABC, Mary. So Joe Biden there at probably at the gymnasium in Wilmington, Delaware.
Right.
Pulls out his list after his statements that he made, pulls out his list that his handlers have given him of which reporters to call.
Here's my five favorite reporters today.
Let's see where they're sitting. Oh, where's now, ABC?
Yeah, not Mary, only the five favorite ones, but they're the ones that the campaign gave questions to ask, I'm
yeah,
sure.
I love their questions. How do you feel, Mr. Vice
yeah,
President?
Why aren't
Biden?
You more mad about
why,
this?
Why aren't you more angry? The next person he went to after Mary at ABC, oh, I have to go to my hometown newspaper reporter.
Yeah.
You know that's going to be a tough one, too.
Yeah, you know, this brings up what we're going to see, in the next week or two, which is the debate.
Less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
I just don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how, if he can't field random questions at a press conference in his hometown with probably not very many hostile reporters there, if any at all. I mean, you probably have some Fox reporters there, but that doesn't make them necessarily hostile. And he's got to pull out a sheet of reporters to call on. And then the same candidate is expected to go to a debate and answer questions he's not supposed to know about.
Yeah.
No teleprompter. It's going to be interesting.
No teleprompter.
Yeah, I just don't see how it's going to work out in a way where Biden doesn't absolutely embarrass himself.
Mm.
So my dad's projected that they're going to find a way to back out. And yeah, I don't think that's out of reach.
That's been talked about, that you're going to see in the next 10 days or so a bid by the Democratic Party on behalf of Joe Biden that we want an instant fact checker.
Yeah, and if we don't have that, we're not debating.
And if we don't have that, we're not going to debate.
Yeah. Steve?
Yeah, I can see it coming. Hey, it's kind of related to the Federalist breaking story. Republicans in the Senate have voted yesterday along party lines to authorize subpoenas for several Obama administration intelligence officers to look at this crossfire hurricane. The crossfire hurricane was the Harris-Biden administration. No, I'm sorry, the Obama administration's effort to try to incriminate the Trump administration coming in with the Russian collusion. Anyway, they've issued subpoenas in this investigation the Senate is doing to people like John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, Peter Strzok and his lover Lisa Page, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe. They're all going to be coming in for testimony, or at least they're being asked to.
Hmm.
Yeah, Fred, you go ahead and give us a jab at this.
I think they will fight this. I mean, James Comey, even if he was subpoenaed and he showed up, he is so slippery. Here's what's going to happen, I think, if this actually, their subpoenas issued. You're going to, the Democrats with their good friends in the media, going to say this is nothing more than an election ploy.
Yes.
If they try this before November 3rd. Nothing more than an election ploy. So the forces will come out to discredit the subpoenas.
Yeah.
Because those forces don't care about the truth.
Right.
They just care about winning the election. So
yeah,
we will just discredit this as the Republicans. This is why, quite frankly, there is this debate out there now. Is Durham going to come up with his report?
Right.
Because the other side is saying if it comes out before the election, this is President Trump forcing
right.
Durham to come right. up with his report. So that's going to be the play that you're going to see.
Yeah. On Durham, and then I'll comment on these subpoenas. Durham, in my opinion, there is no reason that Durham should not have a report by now.
Oh, yes.
Not just a report, prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there was one guilty plea, but much of the information that happened, much of the corruption that happened, we all know about.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because there was an Inspector General report on it. There was multiple congressional committees, both in the House and the Senate, that have already looked into this. Devin Nunes released a report on it, very lengthy report on the In his opinion, the various criminal acts that occurred under this so-called investigation into President Trump, then candidate Trump, I think what Lindsey Graham is doing here is a big waste of time. Because we've had committees look into this for years now, literally 3 years now we've been looking into this, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of information that we already know. I'm surprised if there's going to be new information on this. If John Durham should be the last stop for this. And I don't normally say that when Republicans are trying to expose what the Democrats have been doing, but in this instance, this topic has been exhausted. Either John Durham finds that multiple people broke various laws while going after candidate Trump, or they didn't. Mm-hmm. And to me, that should be the end of it. So John Durham should be the last stop before we rest this issue and move on. And that doesn't mean we can't bring it up. I think it's important to highlight what the Obama administration did probably for years to come, especially when they're trying to get back in the White House with Joe Biden. But as far as dragging this out with hearings and things like that, I just think it's a big waste of time.
I think there should be a news conference with John Durham, the yes. Attorney General of the United States. And let's just say we're going to indict Peter Strzok.
Right. Whoever broke the law.
And here's why.
Right.
One, two, three.
Yeah, whoever broke the law, they should face the law, the full force of the law, mm-hmm. and then we should move on.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you if there's a Harris-Biden administration that this will all go away.
Oh, yeah, it'll be squashed. I'm actually going to be disappointed if Durham doesn't do much mm-hmm. because, I mean, this what happened to candidate Trump was horrible. Shouldn't happen to any candidate. The FBI should never be leveraged against a campaign opponent, and it was.
I think something is coming. Lindsey Graham was on with Hannity just a week ago, and he said, wait 10 or 12 days.
Yeah.
And what's been revealed so far is going to be peanuts compared to what's coming.
Right.
So I think something is coming.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
I have been really amused and not a little bit dismayed to watch the mainstream media try to downplay the historic peace agreement that came between Israel and Bahrain and the UAE. And I know you guys talked a little bit about the peace deal, but I'd like to just play you a little clip of the media and how they are treating this. Listen to Chuck Todd and Peter Alexander on MSNBC downplay this peace agreement. Listen to Cut 7.
You know, Peter, this deal is a bit uncomfortable for a lot of observers to watch because it seems so transactional. It's as if pulling out of the Iran deal is what got these Gulf states on board to do this, you know, to then recognize it. It feels like there is a lot of quid pro quos involved in this, that it isn't something larger than that. Then again, sometimes Middle East diplomacy, the only way to make things move is through the transactional nature of the region.
Obviously, what is ignored here as well, Chuck, even as the president says that he has created peace in the Middle East, that's usually referred to as peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians here. But the Trump campaign has been touting this preemptively as the president having achieved peace in the Middle East. They even noted that he was a Nobel Prize nominee at this point, though they spelled Nobel wrong in the campaign advertisement that they put out.
Well, there you have it. And
no surprise.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you're getting across the board from many of the Democrats and many in the media is basically downplaying this as well. If you don't reach peace with the Palestinians, and there's no peace at all.
Yeah,
and shouldn't be any peace at all. John Kerry said the same thing.
Nancy Pelosi called the deal the other day a distraction, and then she scheduled votes in the House so that no members. Democrat or Republican could go to the signing at the White House because there were Democrats that were ready to go. They thought it was a good, but so she scheduled votes in the House to stop any Republicans or Democrats from going to the ceremony.
Yeah.
You mentioned John Kerry saying that that only peace with the Palestinians counted. He actually guaranteed that peace with anybody in the Arab world was impossible without the Palestinians being involved. Listen to what he said. This is in 2016, cut 8.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that. That is a hard reality.
Except it's not.
Except it's not. Well, no. There was a reason why President Trump, his first foreign trip, he went to Saudi Arabia. Hmm. Remember, he met with several Arab nations at that time.
Yes.
Here's what happened is that Donald Trump exposed what a terrible thing the Obama administration did with Iran. Those Arab nations are afraid of Iran.
Yes. And President Obama's foreign policy enabled Iran.
Enabled Iran. So fear of Iran and what Iran's a real agenda is, a nuclear-powered Iran, brings these Arab nations together. And there is a change of heart. You know, credit to Netanyahu also for reaching out to these nations. Remember the speech he gave several years ago at the United Nations? He says there's a new day
in
the Middle East. There are elements in the Middle East. There's never going to be peace between Israel and Iran. There's not going to be peace between Israel and the Palestinians because they don't want peace.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right.
So it's not going to happen.
Yeah, the hatred runs deep there.
Yeah.
But you know this shows the Washington D.C. status quo wasn't cutting it. It couldn't really get anything done because it was stuck in this. Whether you want to call it traditional, but it was just stuck in this way of thinking that the peace has to be between Israel and the Palestinians. It has to be between Israel and Iran, when what President Trump is doing is he's actually approaching it from a different angle, and he's saying, let's get the Arab countries that, for the most part, don't really have a huge issue with Israel. Let's get them trading, doing economics together, getting their economies meshed in together, upping travel between both countries and things like that. Let's approach it that way to really isolate Iran and the Palestinians, which is the goal that President Trump's been trying to do there. So brilliant move on behalf of the Trump administration, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. There was an odd moment. I'd like to get you guys' opinion, Fred and Walker, about this. An odd moment on Fox News yesterday on the Outnumbered Overtime program with Harris Faulkner. She was talking with Marie Harf, who's the former Democrat State Department spokesperson, and they had Newt Gingrich on, and they were talking about the rioting and the Antifa disturbances that are going on. Newt Gingrich said that the prosecutors that are letting these people off with a slap on the wrist or without even a slap on the wrist were George Soros paid prosecutors. For some reason, I can see why Marie Harf might have a problem with that, but Harris Faulkner did too. It was very odd. I'm going to play this clip. Now, toward the end of this clip, there's about 5 seconds of dead air. I'm leaving it in because it adds to the awkwardness, but
yeah,
it was complete dead air. Listen to cut 9.
Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
he paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right, we're going to.
That's weird.
They're still on the air here. They're just sitting looking at the camera right now.
Okay, we're going to move on. A historic day at the White House.
What on this earth just happened on Fox News?
That is absolutely amazing.
That's bizarre.
Harris Faulkner is conservative. She's the host of that program.
Yeah, and so is Melissa Francis.
Marie Harf.
Marie Harf is the Democrat.
Yeah, I guess Melissa was on. She just didn't say anything.
Yeah, right. Marie Harf is there. I'm sure the other panel members were just as shocked as Newt Gingrich. He's there saying, what? You don't want George Soros' name I mean, it's not like the first time this has come up that George Soros is spending millions of dollars.
That's public knowledge.
To help elect prosecutors across the country that are far lefties, like the prosecutor in St. Louis.
Yes.
That is charging the McCoys, who came out to defend their property against the protesters that entered their neighborhood. When Steve mentioned this morning, I just, questions go off in my mind for Harris Faulkner, the fairly conservative host of that program, to say, let's keep George Soros's name.
Melissa Francis said it. I think they were both kind of chiming in, along with Marie Harf. It was three of them. Let's play that one more time, Adam.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
Oh.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
he paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it was Melissa, who is also very conservative.
Yeah.
All right. Melissa Frank. I'm absolutely amazed that they would object. Now, I can understand Marie Harf. Marie Harf did not deny what Gingrich said. Marie Harf, the Democrat, said, let's not bring his name.
Well, she said he didn't pay for things, which
That's not true.
You know.
Yeah, Marie Harf jumped in and says, that's not true. He didn't pay for things. It's documented.
Are they facing a lawsuit or something?
I don't know. Or maybe George Soros owns a lot of Fox News stock. I don't know. I'm just throwing out theories.
That's weird.
But what is bizarre about that is that it makes you wonder, did some kind of memorandum come from the leadership of Fox and say, we don't talk about Soros anymore?
Let's leave his name out of this.
Yeah, that is. There's campaign finance documents that show that the Open Society Foundation has donated thousands of dollars to local prosecutors during their campaigns across various cities in the country. I mean, that's like if a Republican mega donor was donating to various prosecutors across the country through his foundation, and people wanted to talk about that. I don't know why that's off limits.
I mean, nobody's saying if Soros is doing anything illegal.
No.
It's like the Koch brothers, you know, they contribute to the political causes that they believe in.
Yes.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, well, the results you're getting, there's a reason that George Soros and his foundation are pumping money into many of these Democrat cities to elect prosecutors. It's because they want to shape and mold how the justice system plays out.
Yes. Absolutely.
For better or worse. And that's very evident. So shocking situation.
I'd like to be a fly in the wall after that show is over. I'm sure
Newt Gingrich needs to push back more.
I'm sure he was on the phone, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would have said, why? Why can't I'm a panelist on this show where we're supposed to be able to discuss news items, and you're telling me it's off limits?
Can't talk about them. Wow.
Well, you got American Family Radio, and we'll talk about George Soros.
That's right.
Steve. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Fred.
All righty.
Check out our website, AFR.net. AFR.net's our website. You can catch the podcast there. You've been listening to Today's Issues. I'm your host, Walker Wildman. And Trivia Friday will be on tomorrow. Stay tuned.